chapter 13. We had a wonderful Bible conference yesterday at North Main Baptist. I want to thank those of you who were able to make it. It is very encouraging to me to see my church family involved. We heard at least three. Hopefully mine was good as well. But we had three additional preachers other than myself that just did a fantastic job. Even the one who's been preaching the fewest number of years, which he's really only been preaching a year and a half. And he did just an excellent job. And the Lord, encouraged his church through that conference. I was definitely encouraged to have the opportunity to proclaim God's word. And we had a nice turnout. We probably had, I think we had about 42 people or so. That's about what I came up with. That attended for our first annual conference. And it was a representation of several churches. Now, does that beat Annie's turnout for her Bible conference? Probably not. And there were like 13 different churches there for her conference. And she taught all the sessions. All right? So if it's a competition, she won. But just as the ladies were encouraged back at the Women's Bible Conference, I believe that there were many encouraged yesterday. As we have turned to John 13, we've kind of been finding difficult making our way through this, not because the text is hard, but just because of the, I was gone this last week, and I preached out of Ephesians, I believe, you're like, man, can we get done with John 13? Not today. But we can continue making our way through it. And so, you will begin here in verse 12 and make our way through verse 20 today. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. Truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. And if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I'm speaking about all of you. I know that I have chosen you, but the scripture must be fulfilled. The one who eats my bread has raised his heel against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, when you will believe that I am he. Truly I tell you, whoever receives anyone I send receives me. And the one who receives me receives him who sent me." This is a wonderful passage. We see in the passage before, in verses 1 through 10, Jesus had come to the time of the supper, and Jesus takes a bowl and washes the feet of his disciples. And we see here a picture of something that's about to take place. When Jesus takes off his outer garment and he wraps himself in this towel and he gets down on his hands and knees and washes the feet of the disciples, we see this picture of something that's to come, which is him setting aside his glory, his dignity, to go to the cross. And so he is telling us in this picture So this story of him washing the feet serves so many purposes, but one that we often miss is this picture of him laying himself down in front of them, showing a picture of his going to the cross. As he has taken off this robe of glory and laid down in the role of a servant. Just not too many hours from now in the story, we're going to find that Jesus lays down his life for us. He disrobes and goes down as a servant. When Jesus had washed their feet, says the beginning, verse 12, and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them. So we see here in verse 12 we see this picture of him rising again, putting back on his cloak, putting back on his garments, his outer clothing, and he reclines. He restores himself into their midst. He restores himself into his position and role as the authority in this room. And so Jesus gives him a quick glimpse of what's to take place. And what's so amazing is we recognize that while this was a mere few minutes, in just a few hours, he's going to go down as a servant, laying his life down, but it won't be that long before he was restored into their midst. Until he rises again and he is restored to that position of authority. Now, he is carrying out that which the Father had sent him to do. He says, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly. You call me teacher and Lord, you're correct. You recognize that I am the master and I am the teacher. Do you think that there is a full conception in their mind of his godness and his godhood? I would say, do they believe? Yes. Do they fully understand? No. Right? And I think all of us are on some end of the spectrum of everyone who has come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are on some end of the spectrum of understanding. Okay? And so while the new believer who has not been experienced a life kind of under preaching and reading the Bible, because there are people who come to faith later in their life after they've attended church for many years, they have some understanding of God coming into the situation. But for many, they come to the Lord Jesus Christ in belief before they really understand all the things that are necessary and that they will understand and believe over time. God has not asked us to understand everything. God has not required of us to understand everything about propitiation or salvation before we come to him. Rather, he says, believe in me, take up your cross, and follow me. How many things is that he's asked you to do? Well, on that list, there were two, right? Believe, take up your cross, and follow. Maybe that's three. Take up and follow. All right, there we go. I was sarcastic with you, and I got owned. All right? So, there's three things. And so, we recognize that he's not giving us a long list of things that we got to do to come to him and to be forgiven. But the list does get longer of things that we need to understand to grow in him. And so we want to be knowledgeable followers of his. These guys were the most knowledgeable at the time. And yet there were things that had not been fully revealed to them There are things that they didn't rightly understand. And so Jesus says to them, "Do you know what I've done? You call me teacher and Lord, and you speak rightly, since that is what I am. I am teacher, I am Lord." Now, we're thinking in terms of Lord, Master, right? Probably that they're not fully understanding his lordship as King of the Ages, right? So we're going to understand that the English word Lord here serves a couple of different functions in the text. Otherwise, you would be really confused whenever the word Lord is used for a master in some of the stories, right? And so we recognize that when a master is called Lord in the text, well, that's just an English word that means master. So he says, you say I'm the teacher and the master. Well, you are correct. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. So he says that your understanding is accurate. And I am giving you a model. I'm modeling for you that which you should do. I've given you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Verse 16, truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, a messenger not greater than the one who sent him. Now Jesus had humbled himself, and while throughout eternity we recognize that in the eternal balance of the Godhead, that Jesus was not like a sub person of the Godhead. Okay? This wasn't like, all right, we got Father, and then we got Son, and Son submits to the Father, right? But in the coming to the earth, coming into time and space, the role that Jesus played is that of Son. And he comes on behalf of the Father to bring about that which the Father has ordained. And so, for example, everyone who the Father gives to the Son is going to endure, right? So Christ has been given by the Father responsibility. He's been given a mission. He's been given a people, right? By the Father. And so he is coming to be a faithful servant underneath a messenger, underneath the Father, underneath the Godhead, to bring about that which the Godhead has ordained. Now, you can bet that in eternity past, there was full agreement on what was to be brought about, and Jesus, in the form of the flesh, is bringing about that which had been ordained in eternity past. I'm not trying to get bogged down. I'm just trying to say that Jesus is not a sub-God. He is not a subordinate God in eternity, but he lowered himself and subordinates himself in order to bring salvation to you and me. So, if you know these things, verse 17, you are blessed if you do them. I'm not speaking about all of you. I know those I've chosen, but the scripture must be fulfilled. The one who eats my bread has raised his heel against me. Now, we see here, we're coming up on, we're not going to get to it today, but the betrayal of Jesus by Judas. We know that there was a sign of the one who was sopping his bread with Jesus was the one who would betray him. But verse 19, he says, I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does, you will believe that I am he. Truly I tell you, whoever receives anyone I send receives me, and the one who receives me receives him who sent me. If you receive the messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says that you are receiving him. You know, there's the passage that says, what you've done to the least of these, my brothers, you've done what?
Awesome.
You've done to me. You know, for whatever reason, in our culture, and especially in our political world, we have chosen to misunderstand that passage to mean that what you do to poor people, you do to Jesus. That's actually not what the passage, if you go to the context, that's not what the passage is talking about. It does not mean what you do to the least of these, meaning the poorest of everybody, that you do it to me. So if you do a nice thing to a poor person, that you're doing it unto Jesus. Or that it's received as the same as doing it unto Jesus. But in the context, we find that what you do to the least of these, my brothers, what you do to these Christians, these followers of the Lord under persecution, that what you do for them, you do unto Christ. And so, context matters, and we know that, and that's why we highlight those things in our worship gatherings, is because we want to believe rightly. And when we get these building blocks that begin to transform from cultural interpretation to right biblical interpretation, then we begin to get a better perspective on who God is. But he says here, and this is very important, he says, I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. Do you know that all throughout this book, we have seen these I am statements. The Greek is ego eimi, I am. And these I am statements reflect back on, all the way back to what is it, on the mount. Moses. He said, who do I say sent me? And what is the response? I am. The response is, I am that I am. This is the great I am. And here, Jesus is telling them, guess what? I am. And they get it. It's coming through their dense minds, their dense brains, just like us, and it's coming inside and it's affirming their faith over and over and over. And before long, this faith that they've had from sitting with their Lord and him telling them, I am he. Before long, they're going to take that faith and they're going to take that faith to the nations. They're going to scatter. And I think it's either Philip or Thomas goes all the way to South India with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, where's he going to? Rome, right? He's going on several missionary journeys, but he ends up in Rome. And these guys are sitting in the room here. Never been out of the country. They 50 miles this way and 45 miles this way. That's kind of the world they've known, the world they've seen, the world they've experienced. And here, he's getting them ready. He's going to send them out on the greatest expedition of all time. We think of the great ships that have went around the world in recorded history, or the American pioneers that went and they found new passages through great mountainous terrain. Or more importantly, Davy Crockett, for crying out loud. Right? Davy Crockett came down here and took care of business. And that's why we have the great nation of Texas that we have today. Thank you, Davy Crockett. But even more, thank you to these obedient disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ who went and took the gospel. And here, they're getting primed and they're getting ready. Not with a rah-rah speech. Not where they stand up and they put on all of their armor getting ready to go to battle. but rather they're reclining with the Savior. They're spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he tells them, brothers, I am he. And he had shown them the love. He had given them his teachings, and he's getting ready to be betrayed. But beforehand, he tells them, I am he. And we've got to thank Judas. This rapscallion is here in this room hearing the Lord of the ages say, I am he. And he's going to walk out soon and go get his money. He's going to go get his just reward. 30 pieces of silver that'll be scattered on the ground. He'll never once enjoy his treasure. But instead, he has sacrificed his own body, his own life, for 30 pieces of silver. We're going to get to that. I know there's so much in this chapter that you're like, well, let's just keep going. But I want to point out today that the one that we are trusting is the one who has told us, I am he. Whenever you hear these, your co-workers or your friends say, but Jesus never even claimed to be God. How many of you have heard this before?
Yes.
They'll say, Jesus didn't even claim to be God. I'm telling you that not only did he say, I am he, but he is referencing when he said, I am he, I am that I am on top of the mountain. He said, I'm the guy from the mountain. That's who I am. The one that you have trusted because Moses came down and he told you what I said. I am he. That's who I am. I'm lying here now and you're experiencing me in the flesh. Moses saw when I passed by, he saw my backside. And he came down glowing. I am he. That's who I am. I am that I am. And he is faithful to come in the flesh. And he says that if you receive the one that I send, so he's going to send some out. And those that are received are received by the Father. So if you receive the ones they sent, not only is Jesus going to receive you, but the Father's going to receive you. And so, as we close this morning, I want to encourage you to look to Jesus, not only as he has lowered himself and he has washed the feet of the disciples, but as he has stepped back up, put on his clothes, returned to his seat of authority at the table, and told them, look at me. I am he. The creator of the universe, the covenant maker, the commandment giver, and the Lord who has come from heaven to die for you. That's who this is. All throughout the Old Testament, we see Jesus over and over and over again. And when he comes in the flesh, he identifies himself so that we'll understand. This isn't a great prophet. This is not a good Bible teacher. This is the Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you've given us. I thank you for the fact that we as the believers of Eminence Baptist Church are able to gather together, hear your word, encourage one another. Lord, we thank you for those who teach our Sunday school classes. We thank you for the fact that we have solid Bible teaching going on in our classes, and we have loving teachers who have to make that sacrifice to prepare and to serve. They don't get served. They serve. Lord, I pray that you'll send more hands, more feet, more willing servants. those who will step into the ministry in our church and find ways and recognize the calling that you're placing on their life. We recognize that as a body here of believers, that every single person has a role and a responsibility that is active and that should be used regularly for the service of the King. Help us to recognize our responsibilities. Send more people to help. And Lord, I pray that those in the room today will be faithful to obey you. We ask this in your name. Amen.